Ryan Lee Dosti, author of Formation, A Woman's Memoir of Stepping Out of Line, joined the U.S. Army when she was 19 years old. She had traveled abroad during high school and had developed a love for the intricacies of different languages. So when an Army recruiter came to her high school and offered her a way to get a degree in linguistics without the burden of debt, she saw a window of opportunity.
He asked me if I ever thought about the military or anything, and I said, no, I'm going to go to college and study Japanese because I already spoke Japanese. And he got really excited, and his level of excitement and attention was just captivating. You know, he made me feel very special. He was like, oh my God, we need you. We need people like you who are good at languages. And if you're going to study a language, you might as well do it for free at the Defense Language Institute of Monterey in California.
Dosti enlisted and first went through basic training at Fort Sill in Oklahoma, and then traveled to California to start her training as a professional linguist. After completing 2 years of training in the military, Dosti found herself thrusted into an unexpected reality.
When I enlisted in 2000, that was obviously pre-9/11, so there was never a thought of war being a possibility. I remember having a conversation with my recruiter, and he's like, oh, no one's going to go to war. And he wasn't lying in the sense that I don't think anyone thought it was a possibility. So obviously 9/11 was shocking to everyone. And it was additionally shocking to me because here I am in the military and I realized, oh my God, we're going to war and I'm in the Army. So I never expected to end up in Iraq, but that's just, you know, you have to roll with the punches, I guess.
Despite being trained as a linguist, Dosti was deployed to Iraq and placed into the motor pool, a general division of the Army dealing with the maintenance of Army vehicles and equipment. She made the best of the situation, and everything was going fine up until one evening in 2002.
I had been on medication for positive tuberculosis test, and I wasn't supposed to be drinking, and I went out with a bunch of friends not intending to drink, but I was 21 and not very smart, and I don't think I had any strong self-preservation of this could destroy my liver, so I, of course, drank some and got drunk really fast, and I said to my friends, I definitely have had enough.
One of Dosti's friends helped escort her back to her barracks. Upon getting back to her room, there was an Army analyst there who started talking to Dosti, trying to get her to drink more. At that point, Dosti said she needed to call it a night, and her friend and the analyst left the room and she went to bed.
Afterwards, I woke with him in the room. I told him I didn't know who he was and what was going on, and I didn't want to do this. And of course, he ignored me. And after he left, we called the MPs, the military police, and I went pretty much straight to the military police station and reported it. And they weren't very receptive to me at the time.
Dosti was raped, and in the hours following, did everything she thought she was supposed to do. However, instead of being seen as a victim, she felt blamed for her actions.
I thought I made the right choices in going home and going to my room and going to bed. And they really made it feel like I made the wrong choice just by drinking at all, even though I was 21 and that's all anyone does at that age in the military. Everyone drinks. The military has a very hardcore drinking culture. As the weeks went on, it became more obvious that they didn't want to believe me. And from learning about what the investigators were saying to other people and what they were saying to me, I learned that they were trying to spin the story in a way that made it sound like, well, at first they wanted to know if I slept around a lot. And I think that's what they initially wanted, because they wanted to just say it was, oh, well, she sleeps around all the time. And when it turned out that I didn't do that, they tried to spin it to say, oh, well, this is just a girl who's protecting her reputation, which was ridiculous.
With no one to act as her advocate, Dosti felt alone and lost in a sea of people who didn't believe her.
My command was not supportive at all. My commander was horrible. He pretty much, I would say, openly mocked me. And my platoon sergeant, whatever his reasons, I really liked him. But there was a point where I guess he wasn't sure if he wanted to believe me. And back then, there was no idea that you could be too drunk to consent. all they saw was you drank a lot. And so it was my fault.
This victim blame mentality was and still is pervasive in the military. And Dosti says this culture starts with how rape cases are dealt with.
I'm a very strong supporter of Senator Gillibrand's proposal to have a third party step in when there's a sexual assault accusation and to help prosecute so that it's not like if your commander, let's say, for example, is the one that sexually harassed you or assaulted you or raped you, and he's the one who gets to decide if you prosecute the case, or even if it's one of his friends or somebody he knows, let's say a platoon sergeant he really likes, that the fact that he still gets to really decide what's going on is still causing a lot of problems for victims.
Dosti says there has been some progression in the Army when it comes to dealing with these cases, but it's not enough.
I know they stand much firmer in saying that, yes, somebody can't consent if they are under the influence of alcohol and drugs. That's a positive change, but beyond that, I don't see a huge dramatic change.
After leaving the Army and trying to transition back to civilian life, Dosti was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. For years, she felt isolated and stayed in a state of denial.
I did get help, but it took me a long time to accept that I had to maybe be on medication, for example. I mean, we're talking years and years of me fighting it before I finally agreed. So my psychiatrist sat me down and said, well, you know, full-time work might not be something that you can do. I felt like that was really shameful to me, although I know now that there's nothing to be ashamed of, but it was really hard on me. And he encouraged me to go back to school to continue writing, which I always love to do. He said, at this point, we just want to find you something that you love, that you look forward to doing, and that makes you feel like you have a future. Because that's one of the ways to work through PTSD, especially suicidal ideation, is to see a future for yourself. And so I went to school and I started writing my memoir.
Dosti hopes by writing this memoir and sharing her story, it brings other rape survivors and those transitioning from Army life to civilian life some clarity that they aren't alone.
Don't be afraid to seek help. And if you don't want to talk to your family about it, that's fine. It doesn't have to be your family you seek help from. They have, you know, go see a professional. At least for veterans, you have the VA, and that's extremely helpful. That mental health care is essential. And it doesn't mean you're not strong. It doesn't mean you're weak and that whatever you're going through isn't going to be forever, that there are coping mechanisms to deal with it.
To find out more about Ryan Lee Dosti and her new book, Formation, A Woman's Memoir of Stepping Out of Line, visit viewpointsradio.org. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Viewpoints Radio and subscribe and listen to our show anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts. This segment is written and produced by Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-279-0419. That's 800-279-0419. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. Don't fight addiction alone. Their advisors are ready to take your call. Your future is still a bright place. The help you need could be one call away. 800-279-0419. That's 800-279-0419. This call is completely confidential. And if you have private insurance, there could be little to no cost to you. Even if you've already been to treatment, give us a call. There's no need to let addiction ruin your life. Take the first step now. Call your addiction team at 800-279-0419. That's 800-279-0419. Make the free call now. 800-279-0419. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/terms for more information.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-835-1478. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-835-1478. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher for donating. Call now, 1-800-835-1478. That's 1-800-835-1478.
Thank you for listening to Viewpoints Radio, a production of MediaTracks Communications. If you enjoyed this broadcast, please support our show by subscribing, sharing it with a friend, and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. You can find more Viewpoints stories on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and viewpointsonline.net. Also, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Viewpoints Radio.
Coming up on Viewpoints.
I'm really thankful for rodeo because it's gave me that step to be able to go to college and that step into the real world.
The cowboys and cowgirls of tomorrow. Then,
according to some studies, the McDonald's arches are more recognizable worldwide than the Christian cross, which is crazy if you think about it.
When did fast food become a global phenomenon? I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.